Alrighty. Well, what's up with you?
Oh my gosh, Jen, I started watching Outlander. Oh my. Oh my.
I think I watched like the first couple of episodes one time in like Spanish sub and dub because when I get run out of Spanish shows, I just watch English shows in Spanish. But I don't remember a lot of it. What was your
How
reaction?
did you stop after watching the first few episodes?
Oh, okay. Tell me more.
Okay, so imagine Game of Thrones, but it's erotica for women, and that's what Outlander is. It's fucking fantastic. I thought it'd be the first time I watched it because, like, I know you love erotica written for women, and I was like, I think it was adapted by a book written by a woman. And unfortunately, it was adapted by a man and directed by a man. So there is definitely some like male gaze that goes on in the show, but like you can tell it was written by a woman. It's like, it is like ultimate female fantasy. It's excellent.
Okay, so I guess I remember at least I think we're talking about the same show. This is where like it starts in like the 19 like after World War II or one, and there's like a nurse and then she gets transported back in time and falls in love with some rogue in like Scotland.
Incredible hunk, yes.
So what makes it particularly feministy?
I don't know if I would call it feminist necessarily. She doesn't have a lot of agency.
Oh,
When I
well.
say it's female erotica, it's that like she really doesn't make a heck of a lot of decisions for herself. In the later episode, she does, but a lot of it is like all these things happen to her, but they all happen to be very nice things. It's like her husband, they're having this conversation, and he basically gives her permission to cheat on him. He was like, "If we were ever in a scenario where like, I wasn't around you and you wanted to seek another man for comfort, I wouldn't blame you. Just FYI."
Well, then that's not cheating with
No,
permission. That's
correct.
consensual
You're correct. Yeah,
non-monogamy.
so her husband, out of the blue, basically gives her permission to participate in ethical non-monogamy for no reason. Like, he's just like, "By the way, if we're ever in a scenario where, I wouldn't, where we're not together, you could find comfort in another man, that'd be cool." And then she, by complete accident, is thrust into this, she goes back in time, and then by ridiculous circumstances, she has to marry this guy who's super fucking hot, and they have to consummate the marriage for legal reasons. And it's fucking ridiculous, but it's so good. It's you know how you talk about how like part of the interest in like not totally consensual erotica is that like you don't have to make decisions. That's exactly what this is. You would love this show. Like, it's literally this woman does not have to make any decisions, and all the things that happen to her are like great. She's like, "Oh no, like I didn't want this, but like I guess if I have to fuck this hot dude, I guess I'll do it. I don't know."
Yeah, I think sometimes there's a conflict where it's like, am I being a disempowered female or am I just being very strongly a bottom
Am I a bad feminist or am I just a bottom? Oh, it's so good though. It's so fucking good, man. Such a good show. I cannot stop watching it. I
Oh.
friend recommended it to me, and I watched like the first like 10 episodes in like a day, and then I recommended it to another friend of mine, and she was the same way, where she was like, "Fuck, I can't do anything else now."
I'm Jen.
I'm Liz.
And we're harmless harlots.
What does that mean?
To us, it means being open to having more than one relationship, however you define it, as long as everyone gives fully informed, enthusiastic consent.
It's also an homage to our poly Bible, The Ethical Slut, which we recommend if you want to learn more.
We are enthusiasts, not experts, in this field, so if you want to learn and explore along with us, we give you our knowing, enthusiastic consent to come along. Speaking of shows, I watched a very bad show because I went on a trip with some friends to a beach this weekend, and while we were there, this one girl was talking about High School Musical, the series. And I had been hearing about it, and TikTok was blowing up about Olivia Rodrigo, who's from the show.
Yeah.
And so I said to Leah, I was like, let's just watch the first episode to see what all this is about. Oh my Lord, I cannot believe people watched that and was like, yes, I will continue watching this voluntarily. It's like if middle schoolers made a remake of The Office based in high school. And like, it's so bad. And like, I think another thing that's wrong with it is that like, I saw this TikTok also that was talking about how like, it's really tragic that like Disney and like a bunch of other companies are just doing a bunch of like remakes, because it's like there are a lot of like good stories and new perspectives and like young creators out there. And Disney's like, no, let's remake all these things from like forever ago. And you can hear the white men through the writing. You can hear the old white men in the script when they're like, when they write something and it's like, oh yeah, that's Tina. She has the most Instagram followers in school. It's like, who are you? Who do you think people are? Like, that's not it. And like, apparently they're making like,
is that men writing? It's older people writing without knowledge of what the younger generation
does. No, but it's old white men who are writing this shit. And it's like, you don't know how to write anymore. I'm sorry, your time has gone. The Emperor's New Groove was great, but that's like 30 years ago. Move on. And like, they're also
years ago. Shut up. When was The Emperor's New Groove? Was it 30 years ago?
Probably not. Oh, it's Lord, an exaggeration.
Well,
but
no,
anyway.
I saw a TikTok about how like someone saying, oh, High School Musical, this super old movie. And I was like, super old? What? And they were like, yeah, no, like it came out before I was born. And I was like, what? Shut up.
Yeah, but they're also making, I don't know what production company, but they're making a Powerpuff Girls remake, and somebody, their TikTok was blowing up because somebody like released part of the script, and it was similarly like, there was this line that was like, well, I know Blossom's doing well because I saw on Instagram that she's a boyfriend and on LinkedIn that she got promoted. And it's like, who authorized this?
Nobody is going to their friends and being like, I saw on LinkedIn. That doesn't happen. God. That's not a thing.
It's just like, it baffles me. Because we also, Leah and I also just watched Suicide Squad, which I had seen before, but I did not remember anything that happened. And we watched it, and it is just a bad movie. Like, it's just a bad movie. Like, there's like 18 characters that they try to throw together to make up for the fact that there's no character development. Like, there's five characters where it's like, you contributed nothing, and B, had no character development. And it's like, it was just a bad movie. And so it's just like, it's just so frustrating, because as somebody who was very seriously considering going into the entertainment industry, it's so fucking competitive. And it's like, when garbage like this gets greenlighted, that makes me so fucking mad. Because like, there are people who are making good and innovative things, and then there's Disney pumping out old reused shit that nobody wants and nobody needs. Okay, anyway, that's my soapbox.
No, I agree.
Okay, I guess kind of similar. I can pivot into this. I'm listening to an audiobook called Rising Strong by Brené Brown.
I read that book when Sebastian dumped me. That was what got me through my breakup.
Oh, really? Is that the book you kept posting about on social media?
Yeah, that was the one that Mom was worried about my mental health, because I kept posting about it. One of Mom's friends, like, called her and was like, is Lizzie okay?
You were going a little strong with the posting about all of the inspirational quotes you were finding.
Listen.
We were all a little concerned.
It was the first time I had been dumped. It was the only healthy adult monogamous long-ish term relationship I have ever had. I was going through a rough time.
Yeah, but no. So she said this one thing. I was like, I was writing down my thoughts just kind of overall about the dating show that I've watched a lot of, Are You the One? And
at the beginning,
I was like, now, for these critiques I have of this show and, you know, this genre of like reality romance, like, yes, it has critiques, but some of the reason it is viewed as trashy is because it is like content generated for women. But I will say that I just think that this type of television is like the heteronormative female counterpart to like televised sports. So like, I also have critiques of that. So my critique of this is not because it's effeminate, like for women, but what something she, Brené Brown said in the book, she said something about how like reality TV shows or like, I don't know, various things are like emotional porn because it's like, we don't teach good ways to deal with emotions in society. So like reality TV shows like that are a good way to like release and experience emotions without actually dealing with them in a healthy way. So I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah. We do not teach people how to handle emotions very well.
We really don't.
Particularly men, but I mean, also just everyone is not taught.
Yep. Yep.
How to handle their emotions, which is why we're all in therapy now.
Oh, speaking of therapy, I tried to very subtly drop to my therapist that I was polyamorous because like he's a good guy, but like as happened with my last attempted therapist, it did not go over well because like I was talking about how like Leah and I, like my current partner, are not like probably aren't going to be able to be together like past the summer because she's going to go back to school and I'm going to get a job somewhere. And so I was explaining to him, I was like, I think, you know, if we're not very, you know, physically close anymore, then Leah will kind of see of it as like the end of our relationship. Whereas I, you know, even if I'm not around her, like I'll still think of us as being very close and like I will still care about her a lot. And so I was like, yeah, like I see it as like an evolution of our relationship as opposed to an end. And so he says, he brought up the word monogamous. He said something monogamous in a question. And so I like sat back and I like pretended like I was thinking deeply about my emotions, but really I was thinking like, how do I tell him about the polyamory thing without necessarily telling him about the polyamory thing? So I think what I did is I said, yeah, I think like I do have more of like a polyamorous tendency, but like I said that and then I launched into like another laundry list of a lot of other things that were on my mind. So we like, he never came back to it.
Jen, if you don't feel like you can be fully authentic with your therapist, you need a new therapist. Like,
well, no, it's probably fine. And it's probably just my thing with being bad about telling things about myself.
You are very bad like, at that.
But like, I don't know, at the same time, like,
half of why I like this podcast is because now you like tell me things about your life, whereas before you would just forget. I would find out, you know, years down the road, like, oh yeah, didn't I tell you that this big significant life thing happened 3 years ago? And I would be like, no, Jennifer, no, you did not tell me that big significant life thing happened 3 years ago.
My friend Danny, I was talking with him the other day. And I had called my friend Sarah, who like me, Danny and Sarah are really good friends. And I just like caught up with her because I don't talk with her as much as I do with Danny. And we were talking about just like stuff. And like she has a new boyfriend. So I told her about like me and Leah being together. And it was so funny because like I hadn't told Sarah directly, but I had told Danny. And I hadn't told Danny that he couldn't tell Sarah. I just like, as you know, am bad about telling people things about myself.
And so
like Sarah was like, oh yeah, what are you doing for the summer? I was like, yeah, I don't know. Like Leah and I might try to like find like an Airbnb somewhere or something. She's like, oh, so like you want to keep living with Leah? And I was like, how much did Danny tell you? And she was like, just a little bit. So I ended up telling her about like me and Leah. And then I think she just asked directly. She's like, oh, so like, are you like not a virgin anymore? And I was like, I mean, yeah, not that I believe in virginity, but like, I wouldn't consider myself one anymore. And
virginity
so then
is a social construct, but no, I'm not a virgin.
So then she went and told Danny that. And then Danny got mad because apparently I had forgot to tell him that I do not consider myself a virgin anymore. So he was like, Jen, how come you didn't fucking tell me? And I was like, I swear to God, in my head, you knew. Like, I swear you knew. In my head, you knew.
Small town syndrome, where we just assume when something happens, everybody already knows, because that's how small towns work.
So yeah,
that's really funny though, because Sarah was the one way back in high school who was like, Jennifer is gay, and like we were all like, Jennifer can identify however she wants, like maybe she's gay, maybe she's not, I don't know. And Sarah was always very friendly, like, Jennifer is gay, she doesn't know it yet, but she is, it's fine.
Did she say that to you?
She said that to me, yeah.
What?
Sarah and I have not had a lot of conversations because obviously she's like your friend primarily. Yeah. That's like the one conversation I remember having with her where she was like, Jennifer is gay. And I was like, well, I mean, maybe, like, it's entirely possible, but like, you know, she could, we'll see. Like, she could go either way or both, whatever. And Sarah was like, Jennifer is gay. And I was like, okay.
Wait, that is so funny.
It's like
that
the only substantial conversation I ever remember having with her was where she was like, Jen is gay. And I was like, all right.
Well, it was so funny because like, Sarah is very much more of a like, she's a man eater, not in there's not a good word for this, not in the sense that like she goes through like men, but like mother. She attracts men like
she's
flies.
Yeah, no, she is like
that's
mom.
True. Yeah, no, she brings it, and like she is a very attractive person, so like, and very intelligent and kind and musically talented, so anyway, it makes sense. But so she would always joke in high school, she would be like, oh, like if a guy's hitting on me, like, Jen, you can just be pretend to be my lesbian girlfriend. Like, she said that many times to me is all I'm saying, but I didn't know she like said that to you. That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah, she was much more confident in your sexuality than any of the rest of us ever were.
Well, to be fair, I still identify as more pansexual, or as talked about, persexual, but she was right. I was not straight.
In the environment Sarah was raised in, I think the only words she had to describe
that's
you
true.
Were straight
that's
and
true.
Gay, and so the word she picked was the more accurate of the two words. But
this is fair. This is fair.
Because you are not straight.
I am not straight.
The only thing we ever know day to day is that we're not straight.
That is so funny. That's hilarious. I guess now that you mentioned that, I do remember Danny telling me one time that like he was talking with Sarah and Sarah was like, yeah, I bet Jen will get a girlfriend in college. So I guess she was right.
She wasn't wrong.
She wasn't wrong.
She wasn't wrong.
Speaking of identities, I looked up that term that you sent me, the TikTok of the demigirl flux.
Yeah, I did not look that up. I sent it to you, but I didn't Google it before I did, so I don't actually know what that even means.
Well, so I did Google it. So here on wikia.org, it says that demigirl flux is a combination of two gender identities, demigirl and girl flux. Demigirl is the in-between state of non-binary and woman slash partially but not wholly feeling like a girl. Girl flux is when your femininity fluctuates but never enough to feel like a boy. Putting these two terms together, it's when you feel more of a connection to femininity and your gender is also fluid. At the most feminine, you feel like a demi girl, and at your most masculine, you feel more like a demi boy or similar masculine genders. So it's just like a sub flavor of non-binary, but it was a new term that I hadn't heard before. So cool.
TikTok taught me today.
Honestly, I did. There was this one TikTok that I identified with a lot that was like, when I wear a dress, like I want to be a femme, like it was like a female, and she was like, I want to look femboy, but when I put on a dress, I just look femme. And it's such a struggle when I want to look femboy, but I just look femme. So yeah, anyway. Honestly, TikTok, I don't know. Maybe TikTok is like taking down all of our attention spans, but like, and you know, it probably is just creating echo chambers, but I like my echo chamber. It's queer and poly
is nice.
And kinky.
I like my safe space echo chamber.
Oh, speaking of TikTok and kinky, have you seen these things that are like, no kink at Pride?
No. Why?
Well, okay, I haven't looked a ton to it, but like, it's mostly, I've seen people responding to that, but apparently there's like, some people who do not want people like representing more of like kinkiness, like leather and BDSM, as opposed to like just specifically LGBTQ.
Well, is it like
Pride celebrations?
They don't want straight people who are kinky at Pride. Is that the bigger thing?
Okay. Does kink have a place at Pride? While some argue that Pride isn't a place to police sexuality and fetish, others snap back, dubbing some Pride events as over-sexualized. Pride can often feel overly commercialized with glitter rainbow flags. It's also important to remember what it's all for, a safe space for true self-expression. You may wonder why kink wouldn't have a place at Pride.
I do. I am wondering that.
Brenda Howard, the mother of Pride, was also a leather fetishist.
So why do we not want kink at Pride then?
I think the thing is that, like, there is a lot of overlap between kink and Pride communities, simply for the fact that people who have had to come out at gay as, like, queer are probably much more likely to also accept and be open to, like, having non-vanilla, like, sexual preferences. And so people will often, like, dress in, like, very kinky or BDSM outfits. And this tweet in response says, "Most kink you see at Pride is ironically far less sexualized than the average Super Bowl ad or other mainstream media, but because queer sexuality is deemed other, it's viewed as more sexual and scandalous, even when it's not." So I think some people are just like, oh, it's too sexy and, like, it's not specifically queer, so, like, people, like, shouldn't be dressing kinky at Pride, but like I don't care.
I wholeheartedly disagree, and this has very similar vibes to, like, biphobia, where it's like bi people can pass as straight and, like, they're not gay, so they shouldn't be at Pride, which is not the view anymore, but a few years ago it definitely was like bi people aren't welcome. And there's even been some talk of, like, whether allies aren't welcome at Pride or not. And, like, I definitely think Pride should be about queer people. And, like, you know, you don't want allies to come in and make it all about them. But, like, allies should be welcome at Pride. Like, we want allies. We like allies. We appreciate allies. I don't know. Yeah. I don't like all of this elitism that happens, I think.
Gatekeeping.
Yeah. I don't like the gatekeeping. Although, I will say, cops should not be at Pride. Absolutely, with the Stonewall riots. And, cops don't need to come to Pride. That's
there fine. Was cops also this... Early when I was on TikTok, there was this brief moment where, like, pedophiles were trying to be like, "We're LGBTQ," and it's like, "Nah, fam, get out of here!"
No! Children cannot consent, my friend. Pride is about consenting relationships, not that. Children can't give consent.
Okay, we cannot put this in the podcast if you think this is too problematic, but it's like, I do think in our current society that, yes, like, protecting the age of consent is very important. But at the same time, in my, you know, poly commune, reverting back to hunter-gathering ways, do I think that once children have sexual maturity and, like, expressed interest in it and are fully informed and give their consent, that, like, that could be okay? Yes. But also, like, not till, like, sexual maturity at the least. And, like, B, it would require a complete restructuring of, like, sexual education and ethics and culture in our society. So,
yeah, I mean, the hard thing is you've got to draw the line somewhere, and sexual maturity is too ambiguous that, you know, people would abuse that.
I mean, no, I'm not saying this has any practical application to modern society. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm not advocating for any change. I'm just saying in my utopia in my head.
Right. I mean, in the utopia in your head, people would just not be shitty and, like, realize when consent is truly fully informed and not coerced, but not many people bother to do that.
Well, it was weird in my original sexual ethics class, which is where I discovered the ethical slut. They gave this, like, we read this book called Bait, which was about, like, this boy who got sexually abused by his stepdad. And then, like, at the end of the book, the guy, like, is 16 and he, like, has sex with his also 16-year-old girlfriend. And so a question we had a debate in class, it was like, if both of these kids are under the age of consent, but, like, they're having sex with each other, like, is that okay?
Well, I think the big thing with pedophilia is, like, when it's two 16-year-olds who both are not, you know, of the age of potentially sexual maturity, but definitely, like, brains aren't fully developed, like, you know, two kids making a mistake together is very different than one kid with an adult who should know better. Like, the thing is, once you're an adult and you know, hopefully should understand all of the, like, things that come along with the act of sex and just, like, romantic relationships in general, like, you should know better than to, like, put a child into that situation. Pedophiles are not welcome at Pride.
Pedophiles are not welcome at Pride.
Pedophiles are not part of the queer community. All right, so we've determined that kink is welcome, but cops and pedophiles are not.
All pedophiles are bad.
Correct. APAP.
APAP.
dear.
I don't really have a transition from that, but I did get around to taking an attachment style test, and I got secure, but I was talking about it with Leah, and I was like, I think if I did lean one way, it would definitely be avoidant instead of anxious, because avoidant is kind of like put more distance between yourself, whereas like anxious is like very clingy. And I was like, if I had to fall on one side, I think it would be avoidant. And so then Leah was like, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. Like, I think you do have a lot of avoidant tendencies. And so I don't know, maybe this is something we've already hashed out a lot, but it just comes back to me for the like, am I avoidant? Or am I aromantic? Am I solo polyamory? What is valid and what is mental illness?
As we've Who said am before, I? Am I queer or am I broken?
But so she said something with like, I don't know, like, I guess what it does come down to is like, which way, well, A, if you can change, which like, I don't know, I thought, I'm sure this is everyone, but it's like, I sure hoped that therapy would be like, oh, you're fixed now, where it's like, no, it's just recognizing your problems and being mildly better to understand and deal with them. But it's like, I don't know, I see it as like, if, you know, there's a characteristic of yourself, like, A, should you change it? And B, like, can you change it? And like, the should, which is another word my therapist says I should not use.
That as you should. Should.
That... It's more of a like, if I do this, then this, instead of I should do this.
Right.
So.
Well, it's like our discussion about the word need, where it's like, you can't say I need something full stop. You need to say I need this in order for this.
Yeah.
Or have some sort of qualifier.
Yeah. So for me, it's like, I want to be as happy as I can, have as, you know, the most positive experience as I can. So, you know, if I have a quality about myself, and I think that changing it would make me happier, and I can't change it, then sure. So then it's like, I don't know, would being less avoidant make me happier? I don't know.
Wait, so what does it mean to be avoidant?
So secure people are comfortable displaying interest and affection. Comfortable being alone and independent. So that's the thing. It's like, am I comfortable being alone and independent, or am I avoiding intimacy? I don't know. They're able to correctly prioritize their relationships within their life and tend to draw clear boundaries, make the best romantic partners. So meet secure Sarah, gets emotionally close with partner, show my feelings to my partner. I know they feel the same about me. I know that my partner will be there when I need them. I don't want to have my partner with me when I want to have my partner with me when I am upset. See, that's for me. When I get upset, I think I do have a tendency to want to like be alone so I can just like deal with all the overwhelming emotions I am feeling. But I think I do better when like Leah comes in and like talks me down off the ledge. So anxious attachments are nervous and stressed, need constant reassurance and affection, have trouble being single. I feel like my partner doesn't care about me. My partner isn't as close to me as I want. I find it hard to forgive my partner when they let me down. I often worry my partner doesn't love me. I fear our relationship will end. So it's like, I don't know, like the clingy stereotype, I would say. Avoidant attachments are extremely independent, so I guess it's a spectrum. Am I extreme? I don't know. Self-directed and often uncomfortable with intimacy, commitment phobes, rationalize their way out of intimate situations. They feel crowded or suffocated, have an exit strategy. I prefer to keep to myself. I don't talk to my partner about my feelings. I don't give my partner the chance to let me down. I don't want to be around my partner if I'm feeling upset. I wouldn't care if my partner left me. And then like anxious, avoidant.
That doesn't sound like any sort of attachment style. That sounds like ambivalence.
What?
Interesting they call that avoidant attachment, because it doesn't sound like it's attached at all. Like if
you're
like,
it's an attachment style.
I know, but it doesn't sound like you're attached at all. Like,
yeah.
I don't care if my partner leaves. Then you're not attached. Like if you don't give a fuck, you're like, they could disappear off the face of the earth and I wouldn't care. Then like, you're not attached to them in any way. Not avoidant. You're literally not attached to them at all.
Yeah. So I think the reason why I started like questioning was because like some of the questions were like, I am comfortable like depending on my partner, where I was like, eh, because it's like, yeah, like I think that if I'm like, oh, hey, Leah, like, could you do this thing for me? Like, yeah, I think she would do it. But like, I don't know, I'm a very self-sufficient person. And like, I do value like independence and, you know, being competent. So it's like, I'm probably just more on the avoidant side of the spectrum in security, but it made me do a little bit of a spiral in questioning my identity. So,
yeah, well, everything makes you spiral and question your identity. So,
yeah, well, yeah, it does.
The wind blows and you're like, what is my sexuality? Crap. Have you seen the SNL Jizz in My Pants video where they're like,
oh, a long time ago,
ate a grape and I jizzed in my pants. I opened the window and I jizzed in my. That's you with with questioning yourself.
I emotionally jizzed in my pants. I philosophically jizzed my pants. Thanks for being so present, Liz. I appreciate that you dedicate so much focus to our time together. I feel very appreciated and important to you.
You know what? Rick is sending me shirtless photos. How am I supposed to concentrate? Okay. It's not my fault.
Okay, well, you're the actual version of jizz in your pants at the drop of a hat, so.
Yep, I am. The boy sends me a picture, and I'm like, well, now I can't focus for the rest of the day, so that's fun. There goes an entire day of productivity.
I guess, speaking of Rick, did you want to tell us about the conversation you had with him?
Yeah, so Rick and I finally had our sit down where we talked about our relationship and boundaries and stuff, and I think it went very well. And then I talked to Jackie afterwards, and she was like, you forgot to ask all of these questions. And I was like, damn it. I never think of these things in the moment. I'm just like, yeah, we're fine. And then later I'm like, oh crap, no, I didn't think to ask half the things I should have. I don't think of it. But it was good. It's hard, though. Rick is so fucking pretty. I just look at him and I'm like, I don't remember what I was going to say. How am I supposed to remember what I was going to say when you look like that? But it was a good conversation. We established some boundaries, really things we had already talked about. I mean, so Rick and I had never had like an intentional discussion where we had like sat down and been like, we are intentionally going to have a conversation about our relationship. But like, we had had little conversations here and there over time about like, you know, how we felt about each other and what we were comfortable with and that sort of thing. So we didn't establish a ton of like really anything new. We just kind of, you know, firmly spelled out what we're already doing.
That's good.
Although then, yeah, right after, when Jackie was like, how'd it go? And she was like, did you ask this? And I was like, no. She was like, well, did you ask this? And I was like, no. So we might have to have another talk, because now I have all the other things that I'm like, crap, I guess I didn't really get that much clarity.
Did you write that down, or did you have
Jackie? I did. When Jackie texted me, I have a note in my phone of like, okay, here are the things that I should have asked that I did not. So next time we'll get that.
Well, here's advice that might help you. I forget where I read this, but I read this a while ago, that it's like, when you're having like discussing something that might be like conflictual, you should sit beside someone instead of across from them, because then it feels more like you're on a team. And so that could help you, because
we did sit next to each other.
Well, then maybe look less at him, even more so. So you can
stare at the wall while I have this conversation.
Like, that will keep Rick, your focus.
When I look at you, I can't focus. So I'm going to look at this plant over here so I can think about our relationship and not about how much I just want to fuck you right now.
Well, listen, if that is what it takes, then that's what it takes, Liz.
It's hard being with someone so attractive. It's really hard.
It's tough to be a god.
Yeah. I love that audio on TikTok.
Yeah.
The thing I did want to say about the conversation, though, I'm very proud of myself, because after I had this conversation with Rick, I was like, you know what? I'm going to live my values and be like, I do not value my sexual and romantic relationships more than my friendships. So if I'm going to sit down and have this talk with Rick, I should also have it with my close friends. So I texted Jackie afterwards, and I was like, hey, do you want to have like a sit down conversation where we talk about our boundaries and the future of this friendship? Because like, I'm still potentially moving. So I was like, do you want to talk about like where the friendship is going and, you know, stuff like that. And she was very into it. So we're going to have a nice little Jackie Lizzie paddleboarding date because we both have paddleboards. And we're going to have a nice talk about our friendship and set our boundaries and stuff, which I think will be good. So I'm more excited about that talk, honestly, although I don't know what we're going to talk about because Jackie and I talk about our friendship and boundaries like all the damn time. So we probably don't have much left to establish, but it's still good to have the intentional conversation. Yeah, I'm living my values of valuing my friends as much as my sexual and romantic partners.
Very good. Do you know Jackie's Myers-Briggs?
Ooh, I don't know if I do, but I bet you I could guess it. I would say she's definitely an extrovert. Well, she might be kind of an ambivert because she definitely likes to be very social, but she also definitely needs alone time. I would probably say extrovert for her. Definitely an N, definitely an F, and then probably a J is what I would say for her because she's very organized. So I would guess ENFJ. Which is what I am, but I'm an ENFJP split. She does remind me of myself in a lot of ways. Jackie is hashtag goals. Like if I am where she's a little bit older than me, so like if I follow in Jackie's footsteps, I'd be very happy with my life. She's a good gal. Oh, the one thing I did want to tell you from Rick and I's conversation was he is okay with the term lover boy, which is good. I kind of threw it out there jokingly. I was like, you know, I like the term lover and he listens to the podcast.
Lover
so
boy.
He was, yeah, that's exactly what he said when I said that. But he's okay with it, which is good because I was like, all right, I like the term lover. I think it, because the big thing I want to encapsulate is like, this is a person I am sleeping with him, but he is not necessarily like a life partner. He's just, you know, somebody that I'm sleeping with. And I think the word lover communicates that very well. Like, that's what people think. They get, when you say lover, they're like, ah, yes, you're fucking, but he's not your partner. Got it. Like, it conveys what I want to convey.
Speaking of Lizzie taking initiative, are you going to do the chop?
I'm thinking about it. I had planned on, when it got hot, cutting all my hair off, and it is getting really fucking hot. So yeah, I've sent you some pictures of pixie cuts I am considering. I don't know. It's on the agenda, but I've also got a fuck ton of other things that I'm dealing with in life right now because everything is crazy all of the time. but yeah, I definitely I'm gonna donate my hair for sure pretty soon here, and I feel like a pixie cut is on the agenda. I miss my short hair.
Leah made me send you the picture of the Fifth Element guy because she said that's what my haircut always reminded her of, and she was like, you have to tell Lizzie before she gets the haircut.
That is not the haircut I want. I want it to look like the hot lesbian on TikTok that I watch all the time. I just want to look like the hot lesbian I watch on TikTok. Okay. Josh and I are still doing well.
Good to hear.
he met my friends this weekend, which is a good step in the relationship. He's very introverted, though, so he didn't really talk to any of them, which is fine. But I don't know why I keep picking these introverted boys. I don't know what it is, but I really think I would vibe more with an extrovert, but I always fucking pick introverts. There must be something about them. I don't know. but he met my friends this weekend, which went fine. He just didn't say very much. At the end, I was like, what'd you think of him? And they were like, he didn't really talk. And I was like, yeah, I know. But he's good. He still is very good at, like, he initiates a lot of like conversations about boundaries and stuff that I just never think to do it. Like, I don't know. I don't think to have these sorts of discussions. And he is a little bit older than me too. So I think that might be part of it, just with emotional maturity. But he also, his last partner was a social worker, which I know because the last conversation we had, I was like, you're really like emotionally mature and like initiate a lot of like, really good adult conversations that like I have never had any partner, but particularly a man, like, you know, think to initiate these sorts of conversations. And he was like, well, you can thank my ex-girlfriend who was a social worker and made me do this all the time. And I was like, okay, I will.
Thank you.
Thank your ex-girlfriend social worker.
I did see a TikTok that was like, whenever you meet a man who's like you know, emotionally mature. You got to thank all the women who came before you who did all the work.
Oh, the number of men I have improved and just sent off into the world. So many men who I have helped develop emotionally that I'm just like, I would like credit for all of your success in life, because you would not have done it without my ridiculous amounts of teaching.
So he's older than you, and that made me think.
I mean, he's not that much. Like, I'm 25 and he's 28. Yeah. Like, he's older, but he's not that much.
Yeah. So I guess the first question, so two questions. So A, what is kind of like your guideline for age in dating? And B, what do you think about like significant age gap dating? Go.
Let me go on my dating app and I can tell you what I currently have my filter set to for age. I want to say right now I have the age of 24 to 28. So 28 is the oldest I have going. But that's in part because there are so many fucking options. So I have my filter set very narrowly, because if I don't, then it's endless. It is endless, the number of people. So 24 to 28 is what I have. 24, maybe 23 is the lowest I would go at this point. When you get younger than that, people are typically fresh out of college and just kind of learning about life. And you're just in a different phase of your life. And it, yeah, so I wouldn't go much younger than 23. 28 is just what I have for oldest. I might go older than 28. I mean, Jackie's 30. She just turned 30. And, you know, I don't feel the age gap between us very much. So like, I would probably go 30. I don't know. I think the bigger thing than age is just what phase of life you're in. It's like, if I met a 22-year-old, but they, I don't know, maybe graduated college early or something, or if they were in the same phase of life as me, then, you know, you wouldn't feel the age gap. And like, similarly, if I met like a 35-year-old, but they, you know, also had an apartment and were a similar place in their career and didn't have kids and, you know, had two cats or something. Like, if they're in the same place in life, then like, that's more of what I care about.
Yeah.
It does get harder with bigger age gaps, just with like health stuff. Cause like, you know, if you're going as high as like 40 or 50, then you're getting into like people getting colonoscopies and things. I don't know. There's like more health.
The colonoscopy is where I draw the line.
I work in health insurance, and you're going to die sooner is the thing. Especially with, I do date women, and I would love to date more women, but I live in a place where that is not very queer, sadly. But with dating men, I mean, men die sooner than women and have more health problems typically.
I watched a French movie recently that was called MILF, which, just in case nobody know, any some person out there doesn't know, it means mother I would like to fuck, which essentially just refers to like older women who are very attractive. And the difference in the movie, they talk about the difference between a cougar and a MILF is that a cougar is someone who like hunts younger partners, whereas like a MILF is someone who is chased by younger partners. But anyway, it was an interesting movie, and I don't know. I don't think it was problematic, because it was essentially about like these three older women who like go to a beach town and have a fling with like three younger guys. But we're talking about age gaps, because she is, and I don't know to what extent, but like opposed to like, or like not opposed, but like thinks there's some problems with like very large age gaps. And like me, I'm undecided. I think that like there can be power dynamics that come into play, and like that can be problematic at times.
In like emotional maturity and where you're at in life. Particularly, I guess another reason I wouldn't go much younger than 23 with dating people is just because like emotional maturity is just not there. Like you haven't experienced as much life. You know, you haven't been through, you know, experiences I think you have when you are beginning adulthood post college that are important for growth. So yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't date somebody who was 22 or 23, or I wouldn't date somebody who was 40. It's just typically, you know, those are correlated with like different levels of emotional maturity and different.
Oh yeah. The reason I thought about the movie is because like, and there's one scene where like this woman is like looking on at like one of the women who's like with the younger man, and she's like, oh, that's so gross. And like this other woman is like, yeah, well, men die like 12 years before women, so like we should all be looking for guys who are 12 years younger than us. So
I mean,
or just date women.
yeah I would. I've tried to date women. It's hard. There's not as many women out there who are seeking women, unfortunately, at least in the area where I live, which is sad, but maybe I'll move soon and that'll change.
We went to, when I was in Barcelona, we had a goal that we were going to go to a lesbian bar before we left. And so we did. And it was quite nice to just be in such a very queer, saturated space. And one of the highlights of the evening was I went to the bathroom and like, there were two bathrooms and like one was occupied and then the door of one opened and two guys came out who were clearly queer and had probably just been fucking in the bathroom and they were like, hey, and then they left. Good. So that was my experience. And the lesbian bar was of gay men fucking in the bathroom.
Excellent.
Thanks for listening. If you like this episode, subscribe and leave us a review on your podcast app.
If you really like us, like us, send this episode to a friend, family member, partner, your boss, anyone else in your social circle, the people you want to convert to polyamory, start a conversation.
Feel free to send us any comments or questions over social media.
So thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.